each side. Now, come on, let's all get back in a step. A one, a two, there we go.
Oh, Tony, don't be crazy. And besides, you're supposed to be on the outside. Well, shouldn't the lady be on the inside?
Who's the lady? Hey, look at that crazy driver.
Try out a simple story of story that goes like this. A boy makes a mistake. He goes away. 5 years he goes away. And in that 5 years, he writes no letters, allows no visitors. He comes home.
Now, what a time to think. I didn't want Betty seeing me up there. It's bad enough me trying to forget those years.
Then try imagining what Betty had to go through in those 5 years of nothing.
That's why you're here? Because Betty was scared of facing me alone?
5 years is a long time to you inside. It'd be just as long for a girl outside.
Yeah.
Well, it's all out now. It's already a piece of the past.
So we push it further back, huh?
It's up to you, Tony.
But, honey, I told you when I went up, no letters, nothing for 5 years.
Do we push it into the past, Tony?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure we do. And it's me who buys the first cup of coffee, and I know just the place. Oh, man, you know, that was the best cup of coffee I've ever had.
What do you mean? Cup? You had six.
Oh, you just don't know what slop they used to dish up in there. Look, I'll tell you just... I was forgetting. That chapter's been read and forgotten. Today I start a new chapter. The book of Tony Bastardi. One time stupid, hot-headed punk. Now the best United States citizen in New York City.
Crazy talk, crazy talk. And you're still the same Tony.
And you're still the two best friends in the world.
Hey, is that all I mean to you?
Sure. Hey, and approve it?
But Tony, Tony, what are you doing?
There. Now I'm a friendly sandwich. Got one on each side of me. Now, let's all get back in a step. A one. A two. Here we go.
Tony, don't be crazy. Besides, you've got me on the outside. But shouldn't a lady be on the inside?
Who's a lady? Hey, look at that crazy driver. Yeah, Tony. Red Betty. He's not stopping. Come back. Drunken driver, come back! Come back, you murderer! Come back, you murderer!
You're right.
We may be able to help her, but we won't know for certain until tomorrow night.
Can I see her?
Only for a minute. If you promise not to upset her.
I'll be okay. You want me to come with you, Tony?
Yeah. Sure, Steve. Even with that sedative, my stomach's turning cartwheel.
You better stay at my place tonight.
Yeah.
Well, now, it's only for a minute. And don't excite her.
Hi, kid.
Hello, Betty.
You all right, Tony?
Yeah, sure. I'm all right. Don't talk so much, honey. Doc said you got to keep quiet for a spell.
My legs feel kind of strong. From the waist down, I can't feel a thing.
It's the needles they gave you before you came in. That's right, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, all the patients get them.
Do you look after Tony, Steve?
Sure, I will. Don't you worry. I'll treat him like him as an old Dutch uncle.
He's so helpless. Can't do a thing in the house.
Well, how do you like that? Telling tales out of school.
Yeah. Sorry, but I'm not.
So soon?
Come on, Tony. See you tomorrow, Betty.
I'm going to miss you, honey, so don't be too long getting well.
I will.
Come on, Tony. Good night, kid.
All right, Tony. Let's go home.
I'm not going home, Steve.
I mean to my place.
I got a call to make first.
All right, so we make the call, then we go home.
I'm doing this call alone, Steve.
What do you mean, Tony?
Betty's lying in that room in there. Maybe she won't walk again. And out there somewhere in the city is a man sitting in a drunken sweat. Well, I'm going to see he doesn't sweat for nothing.
I don't know his car number.
We don't. But I do, Steve. I can soon find his address.
Now, listen, Tony.
No, Steve, no one can stop me, not even you. Or the law.
Don't be crazy. You're on parole. You know the number? Give it to the police. Let them do the work for
no,
you.
No, Steve. That car was a big car, an expensive one. The man who drove that car's got money, lots of it. Means he can afford a good lawyer. He might get off. Well, I'm going to see...
He doesn't! Tony, wait! Crazy young fool!
Almost as though your life depends on it.
The address, please.
Don't think I can give it to you.
How about the other guy with them? Did you give it to him?
Yeah, I did.
Then, why can't you give it to me?
Sorry.
Sorry, of all that.
All right, all right. The time's up now.
Time's up?
The little guy said it was a joke. I figured it might have been some party game. Yeah, he said to give him 10 minutes clear start ahead of you. The 10 minutes are up.
I get the address now?
Sure, sure. I had it written down all ready for you. Here.
Thanks. You did a great job. You get to the address. You walk the long gravel drive to the house, a big white dwelling on Long Island Estate. A knot of tension grows tight as your hand reaches for the doorbell and you see a light in the hallway. It's already past 4 in the morning. The burning light means Tony has got here before you.
Yes?
She carries all the identification of a Long Island housekeeper.
That's this other man. Now, you come along and ask the same question.
And at 4 in the morning, you've got a right to be annoyed.
That's wrapping the argument in cotton wool.
And if I don't find your boss first, you might be wrapping him up in cotton wool. For good.
I don't know where he is, if that's what you want to know.
If that's what you told the little guy who was here before me, then that is all I want to know. Well?
I told him nothing.
I'd like to believe you.
I told you the truth. I don't know where Mr. Kalor is.
Kalor. It's been bothering me. The name rings a bell somewhere. Kalor.
You apparently don't get the hunters and fishermen's guide book.
Kalor. Fisherman, hunter, and sportsman, K.G. Kalor. Holds all the records of trap shooting from here to Mexico City.
And further.
I wonder if Tony knows that.
Tony?
Yeah. He was a little guy who came in before me.
He said his name was Ambrose.
No, Tony Vestati. He's out on parole.
On parole? What did he do?
You mean before?
Yes.
He killed a man.
Murdered?
No, I said killed. It was partly an accident and a hot-headed fight. Tony got off with manslaughter. The other fellow picked the fight, but Tony carried it too far.
But he said his name was Ambrose. Ambrose Crafterman. Said he had some stuff to give Mr. Kalor. I thought it was hunting gear, so I told him.
Told him what?
Where Mr. Kalor was staying.
Then why tell him and not me?
Mr. Kalor came home. He gave me strict instructions to tell no one where he was going.
So you tell the first man who comes along. Tony Vestati, but you don't tell me.
I didn't know. He said his name was Ambrose, and that no one was to know where Mr. Kalor had gone. That he had something for Mr. Kalor. Something urgent. But I was to tell no one where Mr. Kalor was.
No one except Tony Vestati.
But I didn't know. It all agreed with what Mr. Kalor had told me.
How long ago did he leave?
Quarter of an hour, perhaps more.
Where's Kalor now?
At his hunting lodge, 6 miles away. But why would he want Mr. Kalor?
To kill him.
Kill him? But why?
Your boss had an accident, but he didn't stop. He was also drunk, which is probably the reason. The girl he hit may be a cripple for life. She was Tony Vestati's wife, and it all happened the night he came out on parole.
Mr. Kalor in a hit and run? But he wouldn't do a thing like that.
The fact is, he did. And I've got a feeling he won't run away again. Ever. Where is this hunting lodge?
Straight down the main road. First turning to the right. Last house by the waterfront.
Let's hope I make it in time. You arrive at the end of Long Island Sound. You walk along the broad walk leading up to the hunting lodge. You walk past the gleaming lines of a flashy convertible. You see where the flesh chrome work, marred by heavy dents in the front bumper and bodywork. You reach the door. It's off the latch. And you go in. And then you see Kalor. He's lying full length on the floor. By his side, the soft blue sheen from the barrel of a .30 caliber hunting rifle. There's only one thing left for you to do. Bring Jim Daly of homicide. You get there too late. Kalor is dead. Next day, you're in a small, quiet hospital room. Quiet because it's a hospital, and also because you can't find the right words to say.
Where's Tony, Steve?
He's outside. Said he wouldn't be along till later.
Oh.
How do you feel today?
I'd feel much better if Tony were with me.
Yeah. Well, he won't be long yet.
What did you do last night? I mean, you and Tony.
We went for a ride.
Oh.
Mr. Strong.
Oh. Hugh, Doc.
Can I see you a minute?
Yeah, sure. Won't be long, kid.
Steve.
Yeah?
Tell Tony to. Tell him.
Yeah?
Oh. It doesn't matter. Not now.
us to operate. It's a delicate operation, and we just can't do without the patient's cooperation. Without the patient having a strong will to live. You know, it's surprising just how many critical cases depend just on that. Not on the surgeon so much as the patient herself.
Jim Daly said he'd bring Tony down as soon as they found him.
A terrible business.
Can you blame him? He builds all his hopes for his future into one special day. Along comes a drunken fool and busts all those hopes into broken dreams. Who knows, Doc? Maybe we do the same.
Maybe. But Tony was a hothead with a reputation behind him.
Yeah. So what do we do now?
We can only wait on the police to find Tony Vistardi. And if they don't find him inside an hour, well, after that, it will be too late.
Hey, here's Jim now.
Tony Vistardi's with him.
Jim's done the decent thing and brought him in free of handcuffs.
He knows Tony won't run away. He knows Tony loves his wife too much to leave her now.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, kid.
Hi, Steve.
We haven't much time, Tony. You better go in now.
Steve, I think she wants you alone, Tony.
But I'm scared, Steve. If anything happens to Betty now...
Maybe you should have thought of that last night.
But he...
Yeah.
Well...
Shut the door, Steve.
Why didn't you let him in on this deal last night?
Yeah, I know, Jim. If I told you, maybe I'd have lost his leave on parole, but at least, well, I guess it's time I lose my private detective license and lose it for good.
Every time a citizen wants help, the first thing they should do is turn to a policeman. That's a part of our job. You, being a private eye, should know that more than anyone else. Instead, you let a kid go off and risk losing his parole. Let him tear around a city in the mad mood of murder.
Look, Jim, forget all the handouts. I deserve all you're giving and more. Next time, I'll know better. Next time, I go to the law first.
You'll be okay, honey. And I'll be here waiting. When you come out from under the anesthetic, it'll be my ugly face you'll be seeing first.
And the doctor, tell him I'm ready for the operation now.
You did a good job, Tony. It gives us the chance we need.
Well, kid, I'm sorry about last night, Steve.
Yeah. If I had moved a little faster, maybe I wouldn't have got there too late.
Yeah, Captain Daly told me. It was a tough accident. And it happened on the same night.
Accident?
Yeah, Mr. Kalo shooting himself.
Kalo shot himself? That's right. Seems he was loading the gun. We don't think it was suicide. We think his hands were shaky, the result of the accident. Well, the fingerprints blur along the rifle where it must have slipped from his hands. So, what we can figure is that the butt of the rifle hit the floor and the gun went off.
Then, you mean Tony didn't...
No. No, he didn't go down to the hunting lodge at all.
I guess I kind of changed my mind, Steve. No, I didn't go out there. We went on home. I was all mixed up.
And that's where we found him. Well, Doctor, what do you think of her chances?
Well, I think her chances now are excellent. I feel certain the operation will be a success. There's no need to worry now, Tony.
Sentimental. A romantic guy. But I've got a lot of good friends in and out of the force, and I like to keep them. I also like to help keep law and order in the community. I'll be with you again. But for now, this is Steve Strong, or as I'm more often referred to, that strong guy, signing off. That Strong Guy is written by John Warwick and produced by Walter Penn for R. Chandler.